What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Welcome back, Redheads. We are here at the Redheads Book Club September-October issue. How's everyone doing?
Hey,
feeling
we're great.
Good.
Boom, boom.
Like I should.
Eh.
Well, you guys, this is a really exciting episode because we have allowed a fifth member into the Redheads Book Club. We would like to introduce her. Her name is Magnolia Fachemin-Ashre.
Would you like to say anything?
Hi, Mag. Knowles.
It's like we're our own girl band.
No, we are Gloss.
Oh, my God. We are Gloss.
We really are.
Oh, my God. Which one is which?
Oh, my God.
Should we do that at the end?
We should do that at the end. Maybe for the Hollywood treatment, we'll play the girls.
Okay.
Love it.
Love to see it.
Well, we are back for another hopefully wonderful episode of The Redheads, following what I thought was a wonderful book. I chose, The Unraveling of Cassidy Holmes by Alyssa Sloan as our book for September. And before we get into our thoughts on it, I will share with you what it was about, just in case you read it a while ago or haven't read it at all. The Unraveling of Cassidy Holmes follows the girl group Gloss, which popped off early 2000s, 1999, Y2K vibes, like Spice Girls, really. Mixture of like Spice Girls, Britney Spears, Christina Aguilera, just like fun pop culture stuff.
It was quite nostalgic.
Quite nostalgic.
It really was.
It goes back and forth between present day and the rise of the group, and it tells the story of each of the girls, really focusing on Cassidy Holmes. The book starts off letting us know that Cassidy Holmes has died by suicide, and so we go back in time to see what happened along the way. We get to know the other girls in the group, Mary, Yumi, and Rose, and you really get a look into the Hollywood life and what it takes to be a star and all of the very disturbing things that go on. So, trigger warning, this book deals with physical assault,
Sexual assault,
eating disorders. There's a lot of triggering
suicide content,
and we will talk about the different storylines in the book, so just want to give you a heads up in case you want to skip through any of those parts. So that was the book. It's really just, you know, a telling of a story and sort of coming to terms with maybe how or why Cassidy Holmes ended her life the way that she did. And before we get into the DBQs, I want to know, what did everyone think? Bex?
Ooh, I'm starting off, why am I? I thought the story itself kept me entertained the entire time, which I always appreciate about a book. You know, it was like a page turner, and I didn't want to put it down. And when it was put down, I was excited to pick it back up.
Yay.
I will say that it was hard for me. I felt like I didn't get to know any of the characters in a very intimate way. Mm-hmm. So throughout the story, I felt like it was hard to empathize or sympathize as a story was being told. And so sometimes it was hard for me to really feel an attachment to any which storyline, because I was like, I mean, Cassidy, like, I don't really know you that well, so it's hard for me to feel all the feels that you're feeling,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
I agree with
and
that.
And same with Yumi and same with Mary. Like, I never felt that involved with any which character. So I will say sometimes, like, the actual writing itself wasn't my favorite, and I don't think that it was a novel of our generation, but it kept me entertained, and I thought it was a great story, and it went quickly. It was, like, all the things that I like about sort of a beach read. So I enjoyed.
Yeah. I agree with that. I enjoyed it a lot also. It reminded me of a lot of books that I do like. It has a lot of comparisons to Daisy Jones and the Six. It also reminded me a bit of The Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo, mm-hmm. and also The Comeback, which I had just read. And I read something else recently that was a book about, like, Hollywood. I can't even remember. I feel like I've read a very similar book, like, three times now. And so it felt really familiar, but I enjoyed it. I feel like I didn't really relate to any of the characters specifically because we never got to know them really, really well. But it was an ensemble, you know? Mm-hmm. So I enjoyed it. Snitch?
I liked it. It was a light read for sure. I just, like, didn't understand the point of this book, honestly. I felt like there was no plot. Like, I guess it was just telling a story that was made up, so it's not like this was a true story and we're getting, like, the truth behind said story, so that didn't really make sense to me. But yeah, it was Magnolia, please, I'm talking. It was definitely, like, a beach read for sure, a light read, and I really breezed through it. And so it wasn't like I didn't enjoy it. It was just, like, coming to think about, like, how much could I really have to say about this book? Do you know what I mean? Like, there's not that much there. And I will say, it just hated the ending because it didn't end.
I agree. You know?
The book just, the author stopped writing.
It kept going to a certain point and then it ended. And I was like, I felt like the ending dragged out and ended abruptly all at once.
Yeah, and it was like, I guess justice was served, but I did not feel justified. Mm-hmm. I didn't feel like justice was served in the way that it needed to be.
Agreed.
Was justice served? Did I miss the chapter?
Well, you know, Yumi, when she's going to become a judge on Sing It, she says, you know, you have to denounce Stephen St. James.
True.
And so that felt good, and Mary told her daughter about what had happened to her, but there was no, I guess her daughter was going to help her share her story on Instagram, so it was implied that, you know, she would get justice in that way. But also, there was a lot of other loose ends that weren't tied up. I felt like what happened with Rose was really frustrating because I thought that by the end, Rose was the one who had told the press about Alex. But who Rose said it was Yumi.
Yeah, and Yumi, like, expressed concerns to everyone blabbering, and then Rose took that and ran and made it a press-related thing so that they could blow up and get more notoriety. I concur with what all of you said. I felt particularly strongly that I didn't know any of the characters that well. Like, there was no moment where I felt connected to them, and more so, I felt like they weren't connected to each other.
Yeah.
And the whole, I mean, obviously the glitz and the glam, and there's a lot of factors that go into being a band, but most central, you'd think, is the dynamics amongst the band members, and even by the end, they just didn't know each other at all, which I thought was the strangest part of the book.
Yeah. I also had a hard time figuring out how I wanted the book to end, because I didn't feel particularly invested in any one plot line, that it was like, it sort of abruptly ended, but I'm like, well, if it were up to me, I don't totally know how I would have ended it myself. I'm not sure what I wanted, because I wasn't invested in any one character's
end-all, be-all.
Yeah.
I also felt like there wasn't enough of emphasis on when they were living large at the height of their gloss fame. I wanted, like, more of the glitz and glamour and success.
Yeah, me too. That was frustrating. I felt like they were only a band for 2 years. Yes. And maybe, like, when we were growing up, like, bands only were together for, like, 2 years, but it felt like an eternity for us because those were formative years for us. Like, but the Spice Girls were around for a long-ass time, longer than 2 years, right?
I think so.
They made such generalized remarks of, like, this is everything I've ever wanted, and I always wanted to be a pop star, and it's amazing, but I never felt it. Like, they did not go into detail about the actual performances, about the songs. Like, I just didn't feel the glitz and the glam, as you said.
I couldn't even imagine Cassidy singing.
Yeah, because... yeah,
because we don't know her.
Her personality was very meek, and I couldn't imagine how she was someone who even wanted to be famous. Like,
right.
I felt like, especially in the early years, everything sort of, like, happened to her and or fell into her lap. She didn't really, like, make choices, and I felt like she didn't want for anything. She just sort of stumbled through life, and I guess that's how Rose felt about her. Like, she just stumbled into this group when the rest of us have worked so hard for it. And I just couldn't really understand or get behind her. I felt like she had no, I don't know, care.
Yeah.
But not, like, empathy. Not that she was unbothered, but that, like, she didn't
no
have,
depth.
Like, she wasn't driven. Like, she didn't have a backbone. Yeah. I don't know. But I guess when you're so young and malleable, that's kind of how a lot of these up-and-coming stars are.
Yeah.
But I did feel like the other girls in Gloss had more fleshed-out personalities, whereas she was just sort of putty.
Placed.
What?
Place.
Oh, I was going to say putty. Just like you can shape her however you'd like.
Which was such a mismatch with her persona of like sassy Cassie with her little smirk. It's like, I don't get that vibe at all.
No, literally same. Like, where do they get that from? I just don't understand.
Yeah, but I guess that's what she was trying to say. You know, people think that she's one way, but she's a whole other way.
Yes. I also have a lot of questions about Viv, just as a whole.
Yeah.
Curious about her cure from cancer, which, like, seemed to be pretty terminal at times. And
then all of a sudden she's living with Rose. With Rose.
And they're not back together.
And they're not back together.
Yeah. Not back together. Like, we're just not going to address that she had a quick, like, turnaround from near death.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not going to talk about Alex. Like, we're just not
going to
talk
about Alex. By the way, the Alex storyline, like, was so fucked up. That is what just got me. Like,
that got me too.
That got me. I was like, fuck all of this.
So that's Bye, where boss. I felt like there were some shortcomings that I was like, this is not fully fleshed out. And like, yes, I was entertained, which like, for a story, if I'm about to read a 450-page book, I want it to go quickly.
It's a tall order for Bex.
It's a tall order for Bex, especially being as I am a slow reader, as we know. And this didn't feel particularly slow. I got through it, ladies.
That's really all you can ask for, you know? Mm,
totally.
But we must discuss along the way. So I think it's time to jump into some DBQs. The book had Reader's Guide, which was so exciting for me.
Love to see it.
Made my job really easy. So we could just get right into them. We also got really good Redheads questions. So I think we'll get through the heart of the book.
Wow.
Given everything that happened after Cassidy joined Gloss and signed with Big Disc Records, the highs and the lows, do you think she should have never chased a music career after Sing It?
Yes, I don't think she should. I don't think she was cut out for that life. I don't think any of it was worth it, considering she left after 2 years. Like, she wasn't the girl for the job.
I totally agree. Mm-hmm.
And like, I know she was so depressed after Sing It, which she claims was because she wanted to be this famous singer, but I felt like it was more just because her ego was bruised and she didn't want to go to school and face the kids because she won second place, which, by the way, is still awesome. Like, why is this
awesome.
So embarrassing?
Awesome. Look at Gabby Barrett now.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she had so many friends, good friends. So I guess that's where it sort of didn't add up for me, where it was like I would have thought that she'd be happy to be home in second place. That's so amazing for a girl who just like stepped into an audition. But
it was
then
so traumatizing, and I don't know why.
Yeah, she had all these big dreams, and it was 2 phone calls, and all of a sudden, she's a Spice Girl.
Totally. It felt like there was not so much conviction behind her desire to become a pop star. It felt like when she called the judge after Sing It and was like, hey, can you sign me? And they were like, no, that would look bad. She was like, cool.
Yeah.
Done. I was like, oh, like, you give zero fucks. Wonderful. Let's move on with like the next chapter of your life. Until then, she was a pop star. So I just don't think that she personally was unfortunately strong enough to make it happen for herself. And I mean, it's a dog-eat-dog world out there. Magnolia.
Magnolia is the dog eating other dogs.
Truly.
Out there.
Magnolia is fit for Gloss. However, Cassie, unfortunately, was not.
She was not. And also, I think that, you know, when you're becoming famous at that stage of your life, and I feel like we've now read a few books that really focus on this these formative teenage years, and the industry is so twisted
toxic.
And dark and toxic, and it already takes, even if you're an adult, it takes an extremely strong person to like go through all of that and come out still themselves. But when you don't know who yourself is and you go into that sort of environment, it's a recipe for disaster, which it really was for her.
Mm-hmm.
And at least for the other girls of Gloss, they had each other, they had some sort of bedrock of a friendship, and I think that is something that can carry you through. She was completely alone. And then when she had a partner whose life was completely destroyed by the environment, like, it totally overcame her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It did make me sad to think how many people, young people in Hollywood, are so impressionable and could fall victim to the same types of downfalls that Cassidy fell victim to. I so understand how it could happen. I mean, I read it and I'm like, I do not envy the situation at all for anyone. I can't imagine how challenging it must be mentally, emotionally.
Yeah. And I feel like I like to think, and I hope, and I do believe somewhat that the industry is better today than it was in the time that we were reading, early 2000s. I think that was like, and the 90s, like a really like hardcore time to be in the entertainment industry. And I think that things are changing and they are getting better. But I think that it's still fraught with a lot of these different issues, especially around like the treatment of children.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, next question. Do you think being busy and being a celebrity are the only reasons why Cassidy lost touch with her childhood friends, Edie and Joanna?
Sounded they like that they lost touch with her.
Yeah.
Yeah, it didn't even sound like it was like she was trying to call them. Yeah. And they were the ones not answering.
Well, because they were the ones who were busy in college. But do you think that that is really the only reason why they lost touch?
Yeah, people fade away.
I just
away.
Felt like she was so much busier and she was making the effort to call. And they were in college, but that's not nearly the same level of busyness as being a pop star. And they weren't returning her calls. And it just seemed like Alex was the only one that she was going to stay in touch with. And I don't think it's necessarily because that she was a pop star. I think her friends just kind of sucked.
Yeah, and also, like, they just probably grew apart. Like, that's just what happens, you know?
And I feel like
I wouldn't really read too much into it.
It also takes the backbone of people who aren't in the famous situation. You have to be confident in your friendship and dynamic with the person who is the famous one and ask and be involved and care. Otherwise, you're going to lose touch. Like, that person's busy as hell. And, like, you have to be, like, asking the questions and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to and really try. Yeah.
Alex was presented as, like, this beacon of her past that was there for her no matter what. But did anyone else think, like, he was never interested in her in high school and now he is? Like, perhaps it's because she's famous? That was not how it was portrayed at all, but I thought his timing
That's actually a fair point that I didn't think about. Like, where,
I didn't think about
where
that
did
either.
That come from?
That's I so just true. Saw him as, like, a good, inherently good character, even when she thought he sold her images. Like, a part of me knew that he wouldn't do that.
I knew he didn't. That was such bullshit. Like, why wouldn't she, like, look
that
into it
That fight was so
bit
stupid.
More?
Like,
no, I thought he did because I was so unclear as to who he was as a person because all the character development was so vague. I was like, well, maybe he did. I don't know.
Also, him transferring colleges to be closer to her when she was on the road all the
time. Oh, my God. That was beyond. Like, what? Why? That was, like, creepy vibes.
That's
so
why
weird.
I thought he sold the pictures because I was like, oh, he's a psycho. He's a killer. They keep alluding to Alex. And like this thing that happened to Cassidy down the road, and I was like, oh, like he's a killer. Like,
oh my God, I never thought that.
I mean, what happened to Cassidy down the road?
They, oh God.
I was thinking of a literal road, like down the street, and I was like, what did I miss?
Oh my God.
They also did not go into detail at all about their relationship. Like, I get that it was a fast paced world, but all of a sudden they kissed in a hotel room, and then she was like in his dorm, and he was like, this is my girlfriend. I'm like, have they slept together? Like,
I know. Yeah, they met sex once. She was like, the sex was like
lackluster.
Okay. Well, that leads into our next question. What did you think of their relationship? Should she have stayed just friends with him? Should she have pulled the plug on their relationship much earlier, like Joanna had
100%.
They should have stayed just friends. Like, he would have been a really great rock for her to have. He could have even become like her executive assistant, just some like what Emily was to her, just someone who was with her all the time.
Yeah.
That would make her feel normal. But the fact that there was like boyfriend, girlfriend, jealousy, pictures, Stephen St. James, like that he couldn't be in the picture when Stephen was in the picture, like was ultimately the demise.
Yes. Yeah. There's not even a question. They should have never gotten together romantically. Yeah. Or if they were, it should have been a fling and nothing serious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's tough, especially with friends. Do you think Yumi was truly acting? So this question confused me because it's in the reader's guide. Do you think Yumi was truly acting in Cassidy's best interest by going to the press about Alex? But I believe that Yumi definitely told some people her theory, but that Rose went to the press with it.
I thought that Yumi went to the press with it. When I was reading, I was convinced that it was Yumi who went to the press. And then it confused me when it was like, well, Rose betrayed me. I was like, how again? It was unclear how everything went down.
When Cassidy goes to Rose's house, like towards the end, right before she leaves the band, she realizes, and like Rose is doing coke, she realizes that it was Rose, right?
Yeah.
That's what I
thought
read.
So too.
This is what I think.
But
happened.
That confused me because I thought it was already established that Yumi was the leak.
Because Rose told her it was Yumi. First, Rose told her it
was
probably
on the phone.
Lucy. Yeah. And then Rose told her it was Yumi. And Yumi was like, yeah, no, I did tell the, I did tell Veronica. And so Yumi thought it was her too.
Yeah.
Because she had said it, not to the press, but like she put it out there.
Yeah, Yumi put it out there because she was physically there when Alex came. And then the next scene she saw was Cassidy with a broken arm. So she started telling everyone, like, I was there. Alex and her got into a fight. And next thing you know, she has a broken arm. I don't think Yumi went directly to the press. Or if she did, it wasn't blown up until Rose made it a thing.
Yeah, I think Rose went to the press.
But Yumi had the information.
Yeah.
Yumi's theory gave Rose what to go to the press with.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't stand Rose.
Me neither.
I really kept thinking that she would become redeemable when she took Cassidy home, and then it became clear that there was, like, this burgeoning love story between them, which would have made sense as to why Rose was so hard on her in the beginning, and then with the Viv background, and I really felt like they were setting us up for, like, this big, huge love.
Yep.
Sort of similar to Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo. That's where I was getting that vibe. And she was such a disappointment. You know, she had so much potential, and I feel like she has, like, such a big heart. Or could.
Could.
Yeah. But she, even to the very end, even when she was old enough to know better, like, still sold out Cassidy's death for a paycheck.
All the ingredients were there.
I respect the hustle.
Nah.
I'm just kidding.
No.
I'm like, kidding, you guys. I think to me, like, that's the definition of a has-been. Like,
yeah.
And that's what Rose, like, never wanted to be. But, like, when you're selling out your band member's death for a check and, like, you're in a bad spot.
They set her up perfectly to have been what you were hoping, where she's the one who doesn't want Cassidy and gives her a hard time and then softens when a bad thing happens to her and Cassidy drives her home, but then nothing came of it in terms of growth as a character.
Yeah. Well, Rose says she can't be with anyone who loves her. What does that really mean, and why do you think Rose feels that way?
I mean,
'cause she's a bitch. Like, she's just a bitch.
Well, she says that as if we are supposed to have come to that understanding as readers.
And yeah, but like that we see that that she finally says that and we're like, yeah, we know, sis. And
yeah,
it's like, we have no idea what that means, Rose.
Exactly. She said it and I was like, is that it? I mean, that was what I had such a hard time with. I was like, I don't really know you, so you saying that right now is supposed to land and it doesn't. And now I'm just sitting here like watching this unfold and I don't really care either way.
Yeah. At first I was like, oh, she means that like, she can't be loved because she doesn't love herself and she needs to work on herself before she can accept one. And I was like, no, that's like over-therapizing her. It's just because she's never satisfied and a bitch and wants what she can't have. And then I remembered she has severe mommy issues, so like that probably played into it more. But exactly what Rit said, that they didn't develop her character enough for that to have an impact on the reader when she said it.
And you know what? She loves herself just fine. You know, that's like not the problem.
Also, it's like if she alluded to her not being able to come out of a closet because of her family not accepting it, I would have understood that based on like how off her dynamic with her mother was. But that's not even what she said.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, oh, okay. So there's multiple reasons and we're supposed to see them all because we understand you so well. However, we don't.
Yeah. In the present, we see where each of the Gloss Girls are in terms of their fame. Mary is very successful with multiple brands, career ventures, and opportunities coming in, even though that was mentioned literally once.
Literally once!
Yumi voluntarily gave up being a celebrity in the mid-2000s and is simply enjoying her life.
And her settlement.
Rose is still desperately trying to be a somebody and not a has-been. Why did each of them end up on such different career and life paths? What influenced their decisions and the world and the way the world sees them, do you think?
I think I forgot the question.
I think it's fitting for what their personalities were like when they were in the band.
I feel like the author was really inspired by what does happen to girl bands or bands 20 years after their heyday. And look at the Spice Girls, for example. Like, Victoria Beckham is the Mary. She has, like, all these different brands. And she just channeled her energy in that direction. Ginger Spice, she left. To me, that was Cassidy. Mm-hmm. Like, broke up the band. Band's never the same. Should we go on tour? Where's Ginger? But now I'm, like, really, like, what happened? Where did she go?
I loved now.
And then also, the other Spice Girls, like Mel B, Mel C, and Baby Spice, are always like becoming judges on X Factor.
Yeah, oh, that's so true.
The author sort of said that this was like an ode to the Spice Girls.
Yeah, and if you looked at the author's Instagram, it was so on point. Like in the lead up to the book dropping, she was like photoshopping herself into all of these like iconic 2000s, 90s moments.
I mean,
like,
we were the Spice Girls multiple times in college.
We were the Spice Girls. She like was putting herself on like the cover of like Britney Spears albums. Like she very much like captured the zeitgeist. And, of course, this begs the question, like, you know, what happened to the Spice Girls? What happened to One Direction? What happened to Zayn?
I think we know what happened to One Direction.
But do you ever really know?
No, like, I think we know. They came out with 5 albums in 5 straight years and tours. Like, they were so done.
They were tired.
Just hated that boy band shtick. Like, he just never wanted to be in a boy band. He just hated it.
Yeah.
I wish we had that clarity with Gloss.
Yeah.
Yeah. Totally. I just, like, I feel like being in a band would be the most fun thing in the world.
I know.
Like,
they didn't really give it the old college try.
I know, but you know what?
Like, at least Daisy Jones and the Six, like, they did make it seem glamorous.
Yeah, but the way that the girls were treated, like, literally giving them eating disorders and,
Terrible.
Like, the way that they were treated with food and, like, with the music video director, like, it's not fun anymore, you know?
It's like they were treated legitimately like props.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not like humans. Like, it was the craziest thing. Like, they just didn't care.
Yeah, like, robots, like, these machines that could just go all day, work so hard, which is so much work to begin with, and then on no food, like, no steam, like, with no respect, no love, no friends.
Sing and dance.
Yeah. Yeah, it is, like, an impossible situation.
And they were that way with each other. Like, when someone would want to get McDonald's or pizza, Rose would be like, don't do that. Like, they didn't even have each other's back in terms of acknowledging how crazy it was. They were that brainwashed about it.
Yeah, especially because I think the fact that they didn't have that friendship to begin with is what ultimately, like, I think if they had a friendship, they could have had each other's backs and gotten through it together. But without that, they were all sort of their own islands.
Yeah,
definitely.
Even at the height of their fame, none of the Gloss Girls ever spoke up about the abusive behavior of the people working with or around them. What reasons do you think made them keep quiet?
It was the times. Like, you can do that now, or so I hope, /think. I don't think you could do that then. Like,
yeah.
It would have meant, like, they would have been out of the band, unfortunately. Yeah.
Intimidation, for sure. And also, I think that there was... I mean, if you speak up about something that happened to you that could implicate the band, you know, like, you're bringing everyone down with you, potentially. And I think that is a lot to take on.
And I think even if that's not the case, and even if justice, like, might have been served, like, the fear of what they were told would happen if they spoke up, like, just completely rendered them silent.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Yeah. And it just made me so upset because I was like, oh, my God, scream it from the rooftops that this happened to you.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just...
I was... The Stephen St. James, like, I was... I just wanted her to say also, so
but
bad.
But tell each other, too.
Yes, like, exactly.
That's what I meant.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. That's what caught me off guard so much. I was like, they can't even talk to each other about the most menial of things in their lives, let alone the huge things.
Yeah.
I was like, are you guys friends? Like, I cannot understand the dynamic for the life of me. I could not crack the code. I was so perplexed. Honestly... I was going to say this earlier. I was perplexed about, like, their adult storylines. I kept mixing up Mary's life, Yumi's life.
Yeah.
I didn't know who was who. I don't know who accomplished what, how old they were. Like, what? How old
were they? By the
way,
I thought it was actually 50 years since. No, it was, like, 10.
Yeah,
no,
someone
it was
mentioned
like,
30s.
It was, like, 18 years. They're in their 30s because I think they ended around, like, 2002. And we're reading present in 2020. That's where I ended up.
We're not reading in 2020.
Yeah.
The book came out in September.
Published.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
I read 30s and I was like, well, okay, now I know it on the last page of the book. It could have helped me earlier to better understand how the hell old you are.
And also the fact that, like, they're in the middle of their careers.
Yeah.
One of them could have a whole new era. It's not like they're...
That's what Rose is trying to do.
Totally. I kept envisioning them as, like, the most has-beens, like, saggy ladies.
Yeah.
They're wobbling around Rodeo Drive.
Yeah. No, they're actually relatively young.
Like, we're their age.
And oh my God, we're their age. And also they started so young and it also wasn't that big of a time leap in between.
I also like didn't think they were that impacted by Cassidy's death. They were like, well, Mary, you were closest with her. I'm like, was
no,
she?
They all thought they were closest with her, which was so interesting. And then I would read something in the book and I'm like, oh no, Cassidy was closest with Yumi. They were roommates. She was closest with Rose.
Yeah.
They were in love. She was closest with Mary. Like she knew about the pregnancy. But I think that's the point is like she actually wasn't close with anyone.
Yeah.
Yeah. By the end of the novel, we start to see the abusive male characters get their comeuppance. What more do you think we should have seen in the book?
I would have liked to see it actually happen, like actually play out. Like, I would have liked to see the statement that they released. I would like to see how it affected Steven.
Yeah.
I would just like to see really more of the justice that was supposedly being served.
I would have liked to see a note or an explanation from Cassidy detailing what happened to her. And coming forth as to why she left the band and what led to her ultimate taking of her own life.
Yeah, like to me, this book is a tragedy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's, I think a lot of people, as they read it, felt very like upset. And it's a heavy book with a sad ending because the ending is the beginning, which is that Cassidy has committed suicide. And there is not that much justice for her. And even though this chapter in her life was like so small, and it's 18 years or about 18 years later, like how much that it affected her mm-hmm. for the rest of her life that she couldn't go on.
I would have liked to see the letter that Cassidy wrote to Rose, what mm-hmm. was in it. I would have liked to have seen a conversation with her and Alex after the accident. I would have liked to see like Mary's struggles with a pregnancy once they quit tour. Like, I just feel like there was so much left unsaid.
Yeah, there was like so much like unfinished business. I feel like the book the author just stopped writing and forgot and sent it to her editor.
I think
and
it
then
was just getting
it.
Too long.
Yeah.
So they were like, okay,
Dan. Which is so weird because it went so quickly. I was like, how long is this really?
Yeah.
It didn't feel long. Did it feel long?
No, it did not feel long to me. I wouldn't have noticed that it was even 400 pages if we didn't talk
I would have thought it was actually 250. Like,
Codename Helene felt long. You felt every page.
You felt every word.
Totally. Okay, after everything that happened, what do you think of Rose? Do you think she was just hungry for any ounce of fame and was willing to do any and everything for it? Or were there other things that made her who she was and do the things that she did?
I think she had a vision of what she wanted to accomplish out of this life. And she was making it happen for herself. And things weren't going as planned. But she still was gung-ho on making it happen.
I thought that she was definitely hungry for fame and driven by passion. But I liked that because it showed more than what the others were driven by. And what stood out to me was when they were in the hotel and they heard people screaming their names outside and she looked at Cassidy and was like, this is the best feeling. I love when I hear this outdoors. And it's like, all right, great. At least you're liking the fame. Like, I can't say the same for others. Like, she really genuinely loved that and worked hard for it. So for that, I respected her.
But it's interesting that she wasn't able to parlay it into a real career for herself, whereas Mary definitely did. Oh, I guess, well, Mary chose like a more business route, and I think Rose was interested in fame. And they did say once that she put out a solo endeavor that failed, and so I guess she just couldn't be the star that she thought she was. Like, even when they were recording their first single and Cassidy was supposed to sing lead vocals, like, Rose was just like felt so certain of herself, like she was everything of the sort, and that she had the better voice, when like she is nothing of the sort really. Like, she was a background singer and she thought she's a star, and you know what, that was her downfall.
Yes, she thought too highly of herself.
She lacked self-awareness.
But they did say repeatedly that she was the one who held the group together, and she was basically the manager
and the leader, the spokesperson. I respect it. Like, I liked her role. Mm-hmm. I just think it also was her downfall in some ways. And exactly what you said, Jackie, it's weird that she couldn't parlay it into something. Like, you were in the biggest girl band. Like, you can make something out of it. You have this conviction. Like, go do something.
Yeah, like, she had the passion. She had the contacts. She, like,
they said she put out an album solo and it kind of flopped, and like one song was in top 10, but that was it.
Yeah, but like, if she's so ambitious and she thinks she's a star, you know, mm-hmm. she should have been able to be a bigger star on mm-hmm. her own. Today's episode is brought to you by Book of the Month. Book of the Month is a super popular and fast-growing online book service for readers. Their mission is to promote new and emerging authors and help readers discover books they love. I have found so many books that I love through Book of the Month. It is one of the things that I look forward to most every month. The amazing selection of choices. I choose different books than I might have selected otherwise because I trust Book of the Month's curators to make sure that these books are going to be fantastic. Their team vets hundreds of books each month and gives readers their choice from a curated selection of new and early release titles, so you can spend more time reading and less time researching. Book of the Month is risk-free. You can skip any month, any time, and you will not be charged. Plus, they have the best price for new release fiction. This month, I chose The Girl in the Mirror by Rose Carlisle. It's a suspense novel that looks so good, and if it's a Book of the Month book, I know that it is good. Start today and get your first book for just $9.99 with code Book Club. That's using code Book Club to get your first book for just $9.99. Head over to bookofthemonth.com to check out their picks for this month and their other picks, and use code Book Club to get your first book for $9.99. Okay, next we're going to get into the redhead questions. We got some really good questions, some fun ones. First question, we got multiple versions of it. What do you think the purpose was of only focusing on Cassidy's life during her time in Gloss and not giving the reader any further information about the time between Gloss and her suicide? 15 years is a long time to skip over, and I would love to hear your thoughts on why the author chose to tell the story this way.
I mean, I would love to know what the fuck happened in the 15 years. I think it makes no freaking sense. Like, but what happened in those 15 years, you know? I thought mm-hmm. it was a terrible, like, plot device. And it left me wanting more, and not like in a good way, more in a what the fuck way, because she didn't finish this book. She just was writing and then just decided to stop, as we know.
Yeah, and when her sister gave the eulogy and sort of spoke to Cassidy's situation before she passed away, I thought that we would get more clarification, but we didn't. And I guess maybe that's the author... commentary on how it feels to lose someone by suicide, someone who you did not know was mm-hmm. was in such a dark place, and you can't make sense of it. And
maybe, that's true, but the book is called The Unraveling of Cassidy Holmes.
I mean, we so definitely saw the unraveling.
But there had to like be more.
Well, maybe, I think it was actually, my take was that she had this pretty horrifying end of the experience as part of a member of GLOSS. And then we learn about her suicide. And I feel like us not knowing what happened in between was sort of an indication that she wasn't able to come back from it, that she wasn't able to get back on her feet, and that she sort of just spent the rest of her life trying to pick up the pieces and ultimately wasn't able to. And then we hear about her death.
Wow.
Yeah. And also, like, maybe...
that makes sense.
And maybe it also goes to show how when you are famous, your life is told about you through others, and you never actually know what's going on with the person behind closed doors. So hearing about Cassidy from everybody else in the book without her voice kind of reflects what it's like to be in a band where you're hearing about these people all the time through other voices and not their own.
Yeah, and everyone's sort of conjecture on what they think
yeah.
happened. I see that. What did you think about Cassidy's multiple relationships / crushes? Alex, Steven, Rose. The Cassidy-Rose romance felt a tad bit forced for this reader. I feel like the Cassidy-Rose romance was
the only thing that made sense.
The only real one where she sort of fell into it and fell in love. Mm-hmm. Whereas with Alex, it was a friendship that she thought was supposed to be more than that, but wasn't. Mm-hmm. And with Steven, it was, you know, he's a crush, and he's this big star, and he's so talented, and you know, she was looked up to him while they were on Sing It, and then he turned out to be a monster. But I felt like the Cassidy Rose relationship, that there was gonna be more there, mm-hmm. but I could already like sense the weight that it had on Cassidy.
Yes, I agree. I thought there was the most real relationship. And she, was it Cassidy or Rose's perspective when they were talking about when they were younger and they kissed their friend that was a girl?
Cassidy. She kissed Edie. Cassidy.
So, like, they did set the scene early that she was not 100% straight.
Yeah.
And I wanted more out of it. I thought it would go somewhere deeper than just a few hookups that we barely even heard about.
Yeah, right. But I guess that's sort of Cassidy's downfall. It's like, if she was in love with Rose, and Rose has turned out to be such an evil person who really is only out for herself, like, where does that leave the people that love her?
Yeah, it was so nasty when Rose was like, oh, and this letter proves that Cassidy was in love with me, and it's her declaring her love. It was like so
yeah
deficient,
desperate.
Desperate.
I'm like so out on Rose. I didn't even know I felt this
no
way.
I know,
I actually liked her the best because I feel like she was the most dynamic, not because she was a good person, they just developed her the most.
Yeah,
but mm-hmm. as like a human, she sucked.
We yeah. attached ourselves to her because we felt we knew her the best.
Yeah.
Because everyone else
we were
was
grasping.
A blob.
But I think because she, that sort of one-dimensional character is easy to understand. Like, someone's super ambitious and motivated and is, like, going to help the rest of the group just, like, get on board and do what they have to do is an easy person to understand their motivations, whereas the other girls were motivated by other things. Mm-hmm. This is more of a fun question about the style of the band. If GLOSS had been bursting onto the scene in 2019, this reader says 2019 because, like, she doesn't want to recognize 2020,
I hear that.
Instead of 2001, how do you think, solely from a fashion and lifestyle perspective, their lives would have been or looked different? I imagine them in 2001 in low-rise jeans with sparkly belts, tons of eyeliner, maybe a French manicure. Cassidy was impressed when Lucy had a sidekick. But there aren't really any popular girl bands today to use a frame of reference when I tried to picture GLOSS in 2019. Little Mix is amazing, but they aren't GLOSS level fame, even though they deserve it. I'm obsessed with this reader. She's on point.
Is this like, you, Jackie?
Would GLOSS be wearing biker shorts, embrace the platform sneaker trend 2 years ago, Louis Vuitton fanny packs, or micro backpacks? What do you think GLOSS would look like in 2019, or a girl band would look like in 2019?
I feel like they would be like wearing those Chanel sets, you know, that like Stassi and Kylie wear.
Oh, yeah.
The skirt and the sweater and like totally just like logos everywhere. Yeah, that's what I would imagine.
Muted colors. I like the biker shorts, like oversized sweatshirts.
Dino stompers.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like it would be like the Dua Lipa aesthetic, but then just like four of them.
Mm-hmm.
The closest thing I can think of in recent years of a girl band is Fifth Harmony.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. But they weren't that sort of girl band that was like super matchy-matchy and vibey, and they didn't have a particular aesthetic. And I think that's also because they came together like individually.
By the way, we want to talk about what happened to bands that we know. I would love to find out what the fuck happened to Fifth Harmony.
I know. Because
they, I think, are probably the closest to Gloss. Like, I think that they were treated so poorly. Like, I think that they have stories for days. So,
Who left? Camila Cabello, she was in it?
Yeah. And I mean, the way that it looks from the outside is like she was the big star. She thought she could do it on her own, which I'm sure that played into it. But I think the dynamics of bands like this, especially when they're not five people who grew up together, like dreaming of doing this together, are so complicated.
Yeah, and I recently saw a TikTok. It came up on my For You page. It was a recording of like Camila and Lauren Yoragi like screaming about how they are like being treated like slaves and like all this stuff during Fifth Harmony, which is why this was on top of mind.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I'm curious because when we were growing up, we had NSYNC, Backstreet Boys, we had the Spice Girls, the best bands ever.
And then there were also like smaller bands like Bewitched, Dream, like bands were just popping up.
Eden's Crush.
Smash Mouth.
All the time. I was actually looking, I don't know if you guys saw the little graphic that I made for
it was really well
the
done.
Instagram.
No, I didn't see it.
Took you an hour.
You didn't see it? It took me an hour. But I was on Pinterest like searching like 90s Y2K aesthetic for like this graphic that I had made. And all of these bands were coming up, like Destiny's Child, even like Cheetah Girls.
Yeah, Cheetah Girls.
There was so much good girl band.
We were so blessed being 90s kids.
I totally agree.
Like, I know, but what I was thinking was it because that was the height of our youth and when we would be invested in bands and the gadgets and the tchotchkes? Or do those bands just not exist now? And like, would a 28-year-old know about those bands if they existed right now?
I think so.
Oh,
we're so plugged into that pop scene still.
Yeah, no, there aren't many bands right now because that was really like the big trend of the day back then. And there are still,
I guess, like BTS.
BTS, yeah, Blackpink. And I think bands are, you know, having a resurgence.
Yeah.
But it's not like how it used to be. It was like an extremely trendy thing to do.
Like these 2000 kids are going to be like, we could go with Billie Eilish and that'll be their heyday. But for us, it was such a different vibe.
Yeah, but like we had Britney Spears and all of that. But I just think just that formula was just of the time. Like I think even in the 80s, like there were bands, but like the 90s were just like, we went hard on bands.
Yeah.
Like pop bands.
Pop girl bands.
There's always rock bands, but you know.
Ugh, what a time.
What a time. In the acknowledgments, Alyssa Sloan, the author, cites the Spice Girls as quasi-inspiration for the Gloss Girls. I mean, they literally were the Spice Girls. Even the names that they had, like nicknames, like Cherry, Baby.
But they weren't nearly as famous. I mean, maybe they were as famous for a little, but not for the longevity.
No, they weren't. But just the fact that they were each a Spice versus the Gloss, like, to me, it was
extremely analogous.
Parallel. Yeah. Were there any parts of the book that made you think of nonfiction, pop culture, events, or phenomena? Sing It as a fictional American idol is a super obvious one. Or when Cassidy left the band, I thought of Zayn from One Direction. Though I'm not a Zayn apologist, people came down and are still coming down hard on him for leaving the way he did, when obviously the reasons for his departure happened behind closed doors and we aren't privy to the full story. Any other ties between the fictional Gloss world and pop culture reality?
Oh, yeah. I feel like the entire experience is extremely commiserate of what is going on in pop culture with bands.
Yeah.
American Idol was a good one. What did they call the VMAs?
Oh, the music
book?
Video
like award. The music channel. But then I feel like they also said MTV at one point.
Yeah. They kept like going back and forth trying to create different names.
Yeah. I liked how they did that because I felt like I could place or get the sense of what was going on. And I think, you know, Cassidy was on her way to the Golden Globes with Steven.
Oscars.
Oh, yes.
They alluded that her dress was similar to Gwyneth Paltrow's Ralph Lauren Oscar dress.
Yes.
I don't know, like, copyright rules, but it's weird that they delved in reality, like, referring to Christina Aguilera and Britney Spears and the Oscars, and then they had to, like, switch the VMAs. I'm sure it was a legality thing, but I'm like, why don't you just either be consistent and use real things or not?
Yeah, no, like, I felt like the author could have made it, like, completely tangential to what happened during those years, like, them presenting with Britney Spears, like, and could have really woven it into what actually happened, but didn't, you know, or they used like the magazine that they were almost like JCM, where like that would have been J14 or right. Tiger Beat, but she didn't. So I would have liked to see more stuff like that, but I think at every turn we knew exactly what that would have looked like.
Tiger Beat.
Tiger Beat. Okay, what do you think the last sentence meant when Rose was at the burial and it said under her veil it would either look like a smile or a frown in the paparazzi photo? Why do you think she would be smiling? Because she got one more second of fame that she wasn't expecting.
Totally, because she's a sociopath.
Because she's relevant for a minute.
Yeah, and we just don't really know her, so we don't know if she's smiling or crying.
And we don't know her intentions. And I feel like that is so indicative of that smile frown.
I would have in the Justice Department, I would have also liked to seen Rose's reaction when she saw that Yumi got the judging spot, and how like she was. I actually love that scene. I felt like there was so much goodness that came from it. Like justice for Yumi, justice against Stephen St. James, and the fact that they would offer Rose so much more money than Yumi, but she completely turned it around to be such a win for her. Like, those were the sorts of moments, like, yes moments that I wanted more of.
Yes, but I also kind of felt bummed out because she's like, I don't want to get back into the fame. I don't want to get back into the spotlight. I don't want to do this. However, I'm doing this to spite Rose. I was like, okay, wonderful.
That's true. It's like she really didn't even want that job, and now she has to go do that job.
She said, for all the reasons she didn't want to do it, and then she's like, but I don't want Rose to do it. So I guess I'm going to do it.
That is so funny. I actually think that, like, judging a show like that is probably really fun, and like a really, maybe she'll enjoy it, you know.
But also for $10 or $15 million,
anything
she can handle it.
I totally agree. Okay, final redhead's question. The author mentions in her notes that she didn't have Cassidy seek treatment for her depression because she didn't want to give readers the impression that seeking treatment doesn't help. First, what are your thoughts on this decision? While I understand the reasoning for this and support it, I can't help but think she should have done more to discuss Cassidy's overall mental health in the book. She briefly grazes over Cassidy's feelings of depression, but it felt rushed to me. How do you feel the author did covering such a heavy but important topic? Was it the right amount, or could she have done more? This is a really big question.
Mm-hmm. Perhaps her not covering the last 15, 18 years of Cassidy's life could leave it up to interpretation. The reader could believe that Cassidy sought treatment or did not, and either it worked or it didn't. So I did actually agree to some degree regarding the author's choice to not talk specifically about therapy or counseling, because that could send a really sad message or upsetting message to readers.
I agree with that, and I think the choice was already made in the book that it would start with Cassidy. Cassidy's death, so it has a sad ending, and I think that would be a tough thing to grapple with, whereas leaving it more open-ended and open to interpretation is more, I want to say, hopeful, even though it's a tragic story.
Yeah, it was powerful when her sister was detailing how she visited her once a year and had no idea anything was wrong, and it just, as you said, shows the power of you never know how much someone is struggling.
Yeah, and I think then this leads into our next segment, which is the moral of the story, that really is one of the morals of this story, which is like, you never know what goes on behind closed doors. You never know what someone else is going through. And even though it might look like someone has it all figured out or somewhat figured out, everyone has their own journey and their own struggles.
That was mine. I said things aren't always as they seem.
My other one, which was like more about like the surface of the fame, is just be careful what you wish for.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Yeah,
that's like a really harrowing one.
That'd be impactful if we like knew Cassidy wished for this.
That is honestly so true.
But like, what were Cassidy's wishes? I do not know.
Yeah, I do not know.
I would think it would be like, focus on your happiness before others. Like, put your mask on before.
Don't rely on your PR agent to do everything.
Yeah. Keep good people in your life, especially if you intend on being like a huge, famously successful pop star. Like, make sure you've got some ride or dies by your side.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think it's just basically like all of them. It's just like, be careful what you wish for. And also just like,
And like, be kind to people. Yeah. That's always a good one.
Yeah. Kindness.
Okay, now it's everyone's favorite segment, the Hollywood treatment, which has now become a competition on our Instagram page, and I'm loving it. So I put so much time and energy into these castings, and now one of my favorite things to do is when I'm in the middle of a book, before I go to sleep at night, like if I'm trying to like quiet my mind, I'll think of like who should play the person in the book that I'm reading outside of Redhead's books. Like, it's just a fun thing to do. So let's start with young Cassidy. I had, after much consideration, and throughout the book, I was envisioning her as a Christine Froseth.
I was literally going to say that.
In the end, I cast her as Bella Thorne. Good one. Also, you will see that all of my young actors, I wanted them to be people who could actually make up a fire girl band. So people that I know can sing and dance, and like, this would be an iconic girl band.
Oh yeah, that was way more than I was able to do.
Okay.
However, the entire time I was reading this, I just felt wispy, strawberry blonde / red hair for whatever reason. I just saw her in my mind and I couldn't shake her, but like, I wasn't sure which celebrity I was envisioning. But I actually selected Sadie Sink.
Oh, that's a good one.
That is Thank a good you. One.
Maybe when she's done in My Dark Vanessa, she'll Correct. Come over to the set of yes. The Unraveling of Cassidy Holmes.
I think she will.
Dana? I think
she's up for the challenge.
I think she is.
I pick Sabrina Carpenter.
Very good.
Yes.
Very good.
Awesome
job, Dave. Yes.
Snitch?
Christine Froseth.
Okay. A very good one
she
also.
She really can play any part.
Okay, next I want to do the other girls in the band, young and old, together. Mm-hmm. For young Rose, I had Rowan Blanchard. She's from Girl Meets World. She's a Disney star, so
that means interesting.
She's a triple threat. And she also looks like my older Rose, which was Rose Byrne. I was going to do Rose McGowan, and the entire time I was reading the book, I was envisioning young Rose as Rose McGowan in Jawbreaker, like just like that bitchy character.
Yeah, it's epic.
But ultimately, I chose Rowan and Rose Byrne, and I think together they could make up Rose.
That's funny, because I did choose Rose McGowan or McGowan for Old Rose, and it just felt right.
Yeah.
Like, kind of like that ambiguously icy
yes.
element. And young Rose, I selected Kaia Gerber. What do you guys think?
Oh, I like
that. Oh, that's really good.
That's a good one.
Thank you.
That is a really good one.
I had Demi Lovato for young Rose.
Okay.
I went the Disney star route as well.
Sure.
And although Demi Lovato looks nothing like the old Rose I picked, I chose Fergie.
I'm in shock. I'm in shock. Fergie is actually a really good choice for this book in general, because I could see her being like a sing it judge, and Fergie would also be good for an old Mary, but
yeah.
You know what? We'll just give that to you.
Yes.
Snitch.
For young Rose, I had Diana Agron, but Glee Diana Agron, like not like who she is now, like when she was a Cheerio.
Okay.
And then for old, I had Gwyneth Paltrow, but obviously my ages are a little fucked up, but that's just what I envisioned.
Okay. Yes. Sounds good. Now for young Yumi and old Yumi, I'll go first because I had, for young Yumi, I have Kim Jenny. She's a member of Blackpink. And again, like, I'm putting together the best girl band of all time.
Yes.
You'll see. And for old Yumi, I had Gemma Chan from Crazy Rich Asians. I'm obsessed with
her.
Oh
my God, that is an amazing one.
Oh
I'm
my
taking
God, thank
it. Gemma
you.
Chan is perfect.
One. Okay, yay, I'll leave it at that. Bex?
Fabulous. For young Yumi, I have Kimiko Glenn. She was in Orange is the New Black. For old Yumi, I selected Kelly Marie Tran. She was in Star Wars.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah, I liked it.
I like that. For young Yumi, I had Lana Kandor.
Love her.
And for old Yumi, I had Constance Wu.
Oh, perfect.
Good job,
Very
Dane.
Good, Dana.
Thank you. I honestly couldn't think of a young Yumi, and Gemma Chan has replaced whoever I was thinking, because that is Yumi.
Oh my God, thank you so much.
I'm appalled that I didn't think of that.
Wow, thank you. That's like the highest compliment Snitch could give, because you're usually like my fiercest competition.
Yeah, no, I didn't bring it so well this week, and so...
It's okay. You've been busy.
Yeah, it's yours.
Okay, next and last is Mary. For young Mary, I had Olivia O'Brien. She's a pop singer, up and coming a bit, and I just think she would contribute great to this all-star band. And old Mary, I had Olivia Wilde, because I think that she looks the way that Mary was described, and she also looks like Olivia O'Brien, and they have the same name.
Oh, okay. For young Mary, I had Katie Stevens, who's in The Bold Type.
Interesting.
Oh.
It felt right.
That's a good casting.
That's a good casting.
I feel like sometimes we get stuck in like choosing from the same shows, like
yeah.
Riverdale and
All
like
of Mine or Modern Family,
Big Little Lies,
any other show.
But we haven't gone Bold Type yet. That's
I know.
Really good.
We should tap into Bold Type.
And Katie Stevens has an amazing voice.
I know.
So she could join the band.
She could be in it.
Yeah.
And my old Mary, I also was deeply proud of, is Kat Dennings, which I feel like is an older version of Katie.
Yeah, no, that's good. They work together.
They work together, and like they both have titties.
Love that. Dana?
I had young Mary as Noah Cyrus.
Okay.
Yeah, that's not bad.
And I had old Mary as Victoria Beckham before you even referenced it on the podcast that you thought that would be a good one.
Very good. You're doing so much
as
better.
Miley Cyrus.
Yeah, oh my God, Miley that's Cyrus. Actually really good.
That yeah. is funny.
Snitch?
For Mary, I had...
Oh God. You know who I thought would be good that I think you would like, that I'll give you?
Who?
Ava Max.
Okay, for Mary, I had Ava Max. She just dropped a new album, and it's so fabulous, and it's been top of mind. And then for older Mary, I had a Kelly Clarkson.
Ooh. And that's wow. great, the singing American Idol roots. Yeah. Very good. Okay, well, thank you, everyone, for your participation. The Redheads will vote and let us know whose are the best. Now I have, like, FOMO for this movie. Like, I need it to be made because yes. it sounds so good. And, like, we would get such great, like, original music from it, you know?
I would love for a movie soundtrack right about now.
Yeah, of, like, a girl band from this era. That's just what we need.
Yeah.
Okay, now it's time for the overall Redheads rating of the unraveling of Cassidy Holmes. I'll go first since I chose it. I gave this book a 4.0 because I really enjoyed it. It was an enjoyable read that I thought about, you know, even when the book was down. But there was not one character that just, like, changed my entire life. Therefore, that's why it's not a 5. So it's a 4 for me. Bex?
I gave this book a 3.2 because I really liked it. It was a great read, but I felt like the writing itself just didn't land for me. And I do think that that contributes to my scoring tactics. So it fell in between a 3 and a 4, but closer to a 3 because I was like,
Okay, very fair. Dana?
I also had a 3.2. I love reading about bands and that kind of content because it just makes me nostalgic for concerts, which I really miss. And I love that treatment of books. I didn't feel anything towards the characters, and I didn't feel that they felt anything towards each other, so that's why my score was a little lower.
Okay, very fair. Snitch?
I'm gonna give it a 2.7.
Shit, Snitch, what happened?
It only has a rating because I was able to read it, and it was like a quick little fun read, but like it just didn't really do, it didn't do much for me.
Okay.
At all.
Oh my God. Wow. Okay. So the overall Redheads rating of this novel is a 3.275.
I feel like that's fair.
Appropriate.
Fair. I agree. Okay.
I'd be so curious to see what the Redheads rated this.
You know,
I want, please give us your thoughts, your feedback, your
voice. I saw some really mixed reviews because before I read it myself, I had seen some people who had already read it who were like, ooh, this wasn't my favorite. And now after I've read it, I've seen so many people be like, oh my God, I loved this book. Like, this was such an enjoyable read. So I agree. I think it's really a mixed bag, and I look forward to hearing what everyone else thinks.
Same.
Okay, now it is time for the other books that we read this month, and I read so many, I'm actually embarrassed. But I also want to share with the group that I hit my reading goal for 2020.
Holy Woo! Crap.
Wow.
50 books.
Holy shit.
And Cassidy Holmes was my 50th book.
That's beautiful.
I just thought that was beautiful, and I thought you guys would be proud of me, but also, like, I read so many books this month, like, I need to get a life.
No, it's amazing.
But I was also on vacation.
You should be so proud of yourself, Jackie. It's really, it's incredible.
Oh my God, thank you so much.
That is really good.
So I'm going to share the books that I read because I actually read some really good ones. 4 of the books I read, though, were Ellen Hildebrand. So if you've read those books, you know, they're actually really easy to read. So it's not like that impressive. First one I read was The Perfect Couple. I was telling you guys I had just started it. I thought it was really good. I gave it a 4. Same feeling that I had about this book where it's like, I really enjoyed the story. It went by really quickly, but there was not one character that I felt myself relating to or inspired by. Therefore, it's only a 4. I read 28 Summers. I felt the exact same way. I feel like Ellen Hildebrand gets into this thing with me, or at least I feel like her female heroines, who everyone's in love with and obsessed with, like, they're extremely blah. And it just, like, makes me kind of sad. It's like, if you want people to love you, like, have no personality, which yeah. I don't like
she
that.
She had no backbone in that book.
Yeah. And then I also read Winter in Paradise and What Happens in Paradise, which I each gave 3s. I actually didn't love them, so it's surprising that I read the sequel. And then the 3rd book comes out in October, and I'll read that too, just yes. to see how it ends, even though, like, I didn't love it. I also read Majesty, American Royals Part 2.
Oh, I forgot.
At the behest of the snitch. And even though I really liked the first book, I didn't like Majesty so much. It made me feel super old. I felt like everyone just, like, switched on who they love so quickly.
So true.
And I thought everyone else in the first, the couples in the first book were endgame, and now these couples are endgame, and I just felt like, where's the loyalty? And I really didn't enjoy it. The only person I love and that I'll continue reading the series for is Beatrice.
Same.
But like everyone else can scram. Then I read The Night Swim, which was one of my book of the month choices from 2 months ago. And I absolutely loved it. I thought it was sensational. It was so well done. It is about the story of a rape trial. So if that is sensitive for you, definitely read into it more before you pick up this book. But I gave it a 5 because I thought it was so good. And it really just took me by surprise. Then I read Eliza Starts a Rumor, which I recommended to all of the redheads. I will recommend to everyone listening to this podcast. I loved it so much. A part of me wishes that I chose it as the book for the redheads. I gave it a 5. It's like about, it's very Big Little Lies, but like without the darkness. And it's about Facebook group drama. And
oh my God.
It was so good. I was getting Claudia into it also. And you guys have heard me talk about it on The Toast, but I loved it very much. So that was a lot, but those are the books that I read.
I mean, I'm beyond impressed. We have to join a Reading Olympics team or something to, like, put all of this reading to the test.
Yeah. No, I know.
Like, I want to win something based on your book consumption. And yours, Dana. Well, you guys, here to make you proud, I read one other book this month, which I actually do feel proud of.
You should, because yeah. I didn't.
I read The Great Alone by Kristen Hanna, which, as you guys know, The Nightingale is my favorite book. So I was like, it's time to read another book by this wonderful author. And it's so good. I freaking loved it. It's all about Alaska, which I was so not expecting. I wasn't sure. I suppose I was expecting another war novel. And I was pleasantly surprised that I was learning all about Alaska being The Great Alone. And it just touched on family dynamics. It touched on nature. It had all the things. It was incredible. And I rated it a 4.5 out of 5.
Very good.
The Great Alone is so good. You should all read it.
Yes.
Okay. But yeah, I'm going to read The Nightingale. You guys gave me so many book suggestions. I actually just started Ask Again, Yes. I'm one chapter in.
It's so good, Jackie.
It's so yeah, good.
And I'm excited. I just didn't want to like read too much before that we recorded.
Okay, just like you read 8 books a month, but like they're never the recommendations that I offer. So it's just like, what does that say about us?
That's true. I guess that it says... I don't know.
You're saving
I was just like
it.
On a kick, and I wasn't ready for The Nightingale. I was not ready for that. I'm getting ready for it. Like cool. I was in a beach read mode.
Yeah. You're allowed.
Dana?
I read Big Lies in a Small Town by Diane Chamberlain. Very good. I'd recommend it. I would rate it a 3.6. It has some art in it. It has some jail time in it. It's great. I read Everything Here is Under Control by Emily Adrian. I would rate that a 3.5. Also great. And I read All Adults Here by Emma Straub.
Do you like that?
I did.
What'd you rate it?
I rated it a 3.0.
I've been seeing it everywhere.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It was good. I like was struggling even remembering what these books were about when I was congregating them for this thing. I was like, what did I read?
Yeah.
But once I refresh my memory, I remember that I really liked All Adults Here.
Okay. Good to know. Even though it was the lowest rated on the 3 books you just shared. Well, next up, we have Becky's Choice. And Bex, what is your choice?
You guys, I'm so excited to select this month's choice. We will be reading Have You Seen Luis Velez by Katherine Ryan Hyde. And I selected this book because from what I've heard, it sends a very powerful and wonderful message, which I think we can all benefit from. I think it's sort of about belonging and not feeling like you belong perhaps with like the group that you should belong with and finding someone else that works for your life and in an unexpected place.
Okay.
So I'm very excited. Jackie was making fun of me because like the cover is kind of like
corny.
Corny. Yeah. Not what you would expect. However, here in this group, we do not judge a book by its cover.
Do not judge a book by the cover. But yeah, you guys are going to be like, what?
I mean, it's like, it looks like something like your grandma would read. You know, but like, who's to say that that's not for us?
Yeah. I don't even notice covers because of Kindle.
Like, I know.
Yeah, I don't know what covers look like. It's kind of nice.
Oh. What's funny is I have a hard copy of this book, which I'm actually excited to kind of revert back to the hard copy life. But you guys, I'm really excited to read this.
Me too.
It's supposed to be
it
a fresh
to me.
I know. I hope it, like we all feel warm and fuzzy after.
Oh, I'm excited.
Me too.
Yeah, we'll see. You know,
it's always fun, and even when it's bad, it's a lively discussion. So
true.
As long as we're reading, there's no bad choice. You know,
for sure.
Thank you guys for joining another wonderful episode of The Redheads, and thank you to The Redheads for listening to another wonderful episode of The Redheads. There are so many redheads, and I'm the only redhead. We love being redheads, and you know where to follow us, at The Redheads on Instagram. Make sure to join our Facebook group, The Redheads Book Club, and we will see you next month. Bye! Bye.